Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this at True Voice with Dr. Fred. Nice, man. That's an upgrade.
How about that, man? You got a little bit more pop in your step here. You got a little more optimistic vibes.
Yeah.
What made the change? What was it?
It's you, bro. It's all about you. It's all this whole thing is about you.
Because I was giving you a lot of shit about your very somber intro, huh?
Yeah, I mean, most of what I wear these days, I wonder what Sam would say, and most of the music, you know, at this point, it's all that's there, man. So there's a third variant. We can hear it at the end of the show. Yeah.
That second
variant's not too bad, though. It's not too bad.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
So welcome, listeners, all 17 or 1,700 or 17,000 of you, whenever you're listening to this. It's super awesome to have you with us. Let me introduce you to my co-host, Sam Morris. He's what would I say to him? You know, sometimes I call him my best friend. Sometimes I call him just like a straight conversational colleague. Sometimes just my dude, or, you know, sometimes whatever, my co-host. And there's something that I want to say about Sam that I'm going to just bring out to the open here, which is, you know, you get on in life and then you have all these things going on in the world. And, you know, finding new people to really love or to love talking to or love being with is it seems to be a greater long shot. And then something happens when you find your true voice, or when you get aligned with yourself, when you start delivering that which is really important to you, then people who are doing the same actually show up in your universe. And that's what I would say was a genesis of Sam coming into my life. I'm not sure about Sam's story with me, but that's what we got here. And I hope you enjoy our discourse, because we certainly enjoy having it. And we don't know exactly what we're going to talk about before every show, at least at this point. Maybe someday down the road when this podcast goes a little bit larger, we'll spend hours and hours like planning each and every word. But it's going to be a long time between now and then, Sam, before we do that. And so anyways, thanks for being my bud. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for being my co-host.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks. Great to be here, Fred.
Yeah.
I'm curious, after all those lovely compliments and acknowledgments and deep appreciation, I've got a technical question. I'm wondering if your microphone that you were intending to speak through is actually the selected microphone, because it sounds a bit like a little echoey in your space. And you want to just check and see if it actually is the microphone that you're going for here?
There we go. A whole lot better.
There we go. That's better. That's more like it. Now we sound like fucking podcasters.
There you go.
All right.
Yep. Thank you.
Good deal. Ooh, that is nice. Now it's all present.
Crisp and present. Yeah.
Reverberating.
Reverberating. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How are you doing, man? How's your week been?
Well, you know, I spent the weekend at this UPW thing, right? This Unleash the Power Within with Tony Robbins.
And, yeah. Tell me about it.
So in 4 days, probably, let's see, 4 times 14, 56 hours, something like that. 56 hours of being with Tony and the gang. You know, there were some people who step in for him, and you Unleash the Power Within. I guess he used to do all 4 days himself, but now he has people in the team who do it, and they do a great job. So really, really great. But, you know, just like the week before, there was just a whole lot of dancing, a whole lot of physiology, a whole lot of altering lives through activity and through redeclaring and reconfiguring the things that matter. And really
In both cases, it's unbelievable how close Umbanda, the effects of Umbanda has, being so similar to the effects of a Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within, because you take a core look, a deep look at the core of the things in your life that are either working or not, and you find out, you know, some things that really are not working. And then there's the possibility of just making new declarations and creating new neural pathways or new ways of dealing with things that were self-manifest hurdles and destroy them and create new pathways, you know, new pathways. And that's what happened this weekend again, for the second weekend in a row. You know, the Umbanda 2 weeks ago was a lot, whole lot of dancing as well. And a whole lot of relooking and reconfiguring. And then this time there's just a whole lot of moving and dancing and all in this name of love, you know, all in the name of really just getting aligned and being true self.
So my assumption then that you were the perfectly carved statue of David, that Michelangelo had chipped away all of the external stuff that was not serving the perfect incarnation of Fred Moss, that there's some inaccuracies there in that assumption. There was actually something to left to take away, to reveal. Are you saying that my assumptions about you and your character were inaccurate?
Well, if you had the assumption that I was somehow already, you know, like done and ready to come out of the oven, that you were wrong. Yeah, you're wrong about that. But I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer to being done. And you know, there's some, and then Gene Keys, dude. Gene Keys is just too amazing. It's too amazing.
Too amazing. Where do we even start? I mean, there's a lightness to your step that has, especially after the last week of this Umbanda experience, and now with upend the power without, or whatever.
Unleash the power within. Yeah, that's right. Upend the power without. Same thing. Yeah. I think I'm going to write to him. I kind of like upend the power without.
Between these things, I mean, I feel like I'm playing catch up to this new iteration of Fred Moss here. You got to fill me in, man. No.
Here's the thing. Let's talk.
Tie me to the rocket thrusters, because where are we going here now?
Let's be honest about this. If we really took a big look at what's been happening to you, which is really important, our parallel universes have been kind of the magic that has kept us aligned with each other anyways. So if we look at your last 2 or 3 weeks, I'm quite certain, not to mention your birthday just a few days ago, I'm quite certain that there's been things that have happened in your life that I see a new lightness in you as well. In other words, I see you leading courses from a new level of power, a new level of comfort, a new level of just standing for humanity, a new smile, a new kind of like a new comfort is almost too small of a word, like an ease, maybe an ease in how you're managing yourself these days too. So tell us, where have you been? What have you been doing? And then we'll look at Umbanda and Gene Keys and Tony and stuff later, maybe.
Gosh, that's a great question. And there is a shift. I have felt more vitality, more energy, and more trust, I suppose, more confidence. It's I think what it really is after many decades of a certain amount of frustration with feeling as though, you know, the true voice, since we're talking about true voices, the true voice that I most connect with, somehow I was feeling like for many decades that I struggled to find the way in which that true voice had a home in the world. And more recently, I'm more and more able to really easily access the value of that true voice, where it has its home in the greater milieu. We'll use that word because it's actually, or zeitgeist of the world. It's like sort of an alignment between who I am and what the world needs, that I've always kind of been known on some level and been working towards and been kind of flushing out But it seems like something has shifted recently where there's more of the jigsaw puzzle piece feels like it's just kind of found its spot more so than ever. And I can kind of relax into trusting that I'm exactly where I need to be and that the role I'm playing is exactly the role I need to play. And that what I've been turned on to in terms of my own truth for my entire life and how it's evolved is actually very much being not only maybe valued, but even, you know, I might even have the audacity to say required in service of the people who I reach.
No small thing there, Sam. And so in all reality, you know, of course I could bounce back with some Michelangelo joke, but I won't. And I'll just really get that it suits you. It fits you well. And it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. You know, this too shall pass, I'm sure, for both of us. But, you know, I think it is a testament because, I mean, the audience didn't know something that you and I know, which is, our actual contact with each other during these last few weeks has been less than it's been for a year. You know, we have talked to each other less than, you know, maybe even only one time between, or maybe twice from the last podcast till now. And it somehow doesn't surprise me that that's what's landing for you because I am resonating entirely with some version of that for me as well. I just came out of my, you know, every other Tuesday I have that mastermind associated with the True Voice course, which you all can find at truevoicecourse.com. And it's a spectacular course, but the mastermind is even better. And we had the group that was there has been there a number of times. And the gene key that I'm on right now is this gene key from selfishness to selflessness through altruism.
I want to give our audience just a brief understanding of gene keys before jumping in there because we don't want to lose folks.
Good point. So the gene keys is a program designed by a man named Richard Rudd who, you know, as far as the rumor goes or the story goes, is he just took a download one day. He was like traveling around the world and stopped and then took a download of this incredible book that he then wrote as the vessel that came through him. And it's a combination of, it's 64 hexagrams are the base of it. It has a significant similarity to something called human design and also other things called, you know, called the I Ching or there's astrology in there. And even from what I understand, although mostly in human design, there's also a bit of Kabbalah and other mysticism that he's taken down into gene keys. And gene keys is like keys to certain ways of human being, you know, certain ways that we are looking at shadows and gifts and then what's called a city, SIDDHI, or the outcome of the dance between a shadow and gift in various areas. So that's as close as I'm going to get for right now. And if those of you who are listening who know gene keys better than me, if I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I'm new to it, but I think I'm pretty close. And so I'm in a Delta group, which is a group that if you really want to enter gene keys, and if you're even mildly interested in gene keys, you should enter because it is just, it's blasted interesting. It's so interesting. And it really immediately infiltrates your life. You know, it's super fascinating how it does so. In the Delta group, you're assigned a particular gene key. I have 7 men in my group. I think we're the first all men's Delta group that's ever been created out of gene keys. That's what I hear. And so each week you shift from it. There's particular 7 gene keys that are holding each other up, like holding each other up as tent stakes. You know, there's like a purpose for as you move from gene key to gene key. There are 7 gene keys, 7 people taking on 7 gene keys in 7 weeks. And then on the 8th week, you take on an 8th gene key together. So I'm on the 3rd week of this Delta, and the 3rd week of the Delta is Gene Key 27, and Gene Key 27 has what's called the shadow of selfishness, and then the gift. So what matches that shadow, what counterbalances that shadow is the gift that's also with all of us called altruism. And then shadow, and then the city or the outcome, the ultimate outcome of the merger of these two things, I guess, is selflessness. So in the, and that's and for this week, I'm to embody that particular gene key and, you know, find my way to at least exploring what it means to be officially selfless. And I just picked up that gene key yesterday, and Monday is my turnaround day. So Monday is when I picked up this gene key, and it just has fit me so many times today and all through the day. So it's really been remarkable to really fish into what it means to be altruistic without purpose, like, and then selfless as an ultimate, at least even dancing through what true selflessness looks like rather than manipulative selflessness that some of us know about, where you act like you're selfless, but really maybe you're looking for some form of reciprocation from the person you're meeting. Like, I'll be selfless to you if and only if you blah, blah, blah. That's not really selflessness.
Right. So altruism with an agenda.
Yeah, hey, right. Exactly. Exactly. So it just fits. It just fits my
week. I'll be altruistic and selfless as long as it gets me something.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the shadow, by the way. That's the that there's two different kinds of shadows. There's a reactive shadow and a repressive shadow. And the reactive shadow is the one that you're talking about there, where that some people really fake being that in order to, and that just doesn't work, of course. Yeah. So that fits, you know, it fits. It's part of the whole thing is that I get to dance through that this week and really try it on. And I'm telling you, man, it's like a soaking. It's like, oh, wow. Dude,
you're just beaming. I'm trying to catch up here. I'm trying to feel all of my normal cynicism and sarcasm. I'm like,
you can do
all
that.
My normal tools for communicating with Fred Moss seem to be offline right now, man. Because
you can bring your bullshit. I'm good with your bullshit for sure. I can totally metabolize it. And I'm frankly, I don't even really believe you. I think at this point, you know, we have had an experience. I think I got a little dry there for a little while and you gave me some shit about it, but I'm not talking about dryness this time. This time it's not dry. It's pretty cool this time. Yeah. It's good shit. Yep.
All right. Yeah. So, and now how about with, I don't even know if we should, there's so much here with gene keys. I don't even know if we should transition straight to Tony Robbins and Unleash the Power Within. I mean, you're like a personal development whore these days.
Yeah. Just
like,
I am.
Just taking those personal development bukkake. Yeah. It's like you're all over it. You're all over it.
Oh my God. Can we edit that out later when can we pretend that he didn't say that? That'd be really great. All right. My reputation is still important to me. Like a personal development bukkake. Oh my God. Oh boy. Yeah, it's something like that. There is an orgy going on here with personal development.
Yeah, you got like a personal development orgy happening.
It is true. And you know what? It's like, it couldn't be coming at a better time because the other thing that's happening is, you know, I'm in a cleansing right now. And you know, fruit and vegetables only is what we're doing for 5 days. And that means only like no oils, no grains, no intake of anything other than fruits and vegetables. In fact, you know, you look here, I got me some grapes. It doesn't, you know, here's the thing, Sam, it doesn't really make life easier. That's what I've said before too. It's not about ease, but there is something about being aligned with a purpose that gives it, like there's a reason or there's a something drawing forward sometime. You know, I've still woken up the last couple of days and like, what the fuck, you know? Whew. And then stuff falls in, like, what is going on in my life that makes it worth living? And then I remember some things. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did that. I did that. I did that. I did that. I'm doing that. I have this conversation. And all the while, I'm taking care of my cats or drinking my water, meditating, doing my breathing, you know, making my celery juice, whatever I'm doing here, you know, or getting ready for my workout and have that routine that at least I've been doing for a few weeks, generally reading and writing. And by the time the day starts, which is about 2 hours after I wake up, it's almost like there is a purpose, you know. It's like, okay, let's get the shit on, bring it, let's go. You know, there's a lot of ugly things going out there, and there's something like, well, ugly or not, I might as well give it my best shot. And I get up to bat, and you know, recently I've been given a pretty good shot to it. So you're almost like what you said. It's almost like, and it isn't really me for me. How did you say it? It's almost like, who I get to be is someone that I really believe the world not only wants, but needs. Like, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. It's really great.
So let's all rest in that truth for a little while and get that if you and I are expressing that naturally by extension, it seems to me that that's true for everyone listening.
Exactly.
As well.
Exactly.
Whether they recognize it or not. And some people listening right now might feel like, well, what the hell is the point? And this is such a complex world. I mean, I don't want to be feeding my own projections into what other people are thinking, but I know a lot of people are thinking these types of thoughts. And it's, you know, why me? What's the purpose of all of this? Where's the meaning? You are the meaning. That's, in fact, you are the requirement. And that's true for every single one of us listening. I had a very deep and profound experience that I mentioned to you in conversation. Actually, this was the one time I think that we did speak last week between our last podcast. It was on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to celebrate my birthday by doing a deep psychedelic dive. And the thing that I came away with is that each one of us is not only valuable, but required.
Mm-hmm.
And that whatever we are going through, whatever we experience, is a required part of the larger whole that is inseparable from the whole. Mm-hmm. And there is something that resonated so profoundly true with that. Not just as an intellectual concept or a philosophical orientation, but as a deep knowing, a gnosis, a feeling in every cell of my body that this is true. This is truth, truth beyond relative truth. Right. And I think that we sometimes use this term true as we think of it in terms of its complement of something that we could call false. And so then we measure things by how true they are based on how false something else might be. But the truth that I'm speaking to is a deeper knowing, a deeper awareness, a connection to something beyond my own logical mind. A space of deep understanding that we are all required exactly as we are, and that every single circumstance that has unfolded in our lives and that continues to unfold in our lives is all part of the necessary evolution of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how painful or mundane it might seem, this is how the whole is evolving, and your part of that whole is essential.
Amazing. I can first of all, thank you for sharing that so candidly. And I really, you know, there's something about what you're saying that we all know. So that's what makes it even more interesting. Now, the truth is there's some out there that say, I don't know that. What's really interesting is it could be no other way. It literally could be no other way. This is the only way it is. So in order for this to be happening, you have to be doing and being exactly who you are. And this is the only way that it is. There is no other way it could be. It is. There's never been a moment where it was different than what it was, right? I mean, as far as I know, how it is always how it is. There's never a time where that's not true. And if that's true, then it only goes naturally to be. that each and every one of us and our experiences as they're going on are part of the greater whole. Now, my daughter spoke with me. I spoke with my daughter yesterday. Gosh, I'm not saying the thing right. There's a way. It's not metaverse. There's something about multiverse. Mm. Have you heard of this multiverse way of thinking of life? Do you know a little bit about
that? That infinite possibilities exist simultaneously?
Exactly. So she spoke to that, and she's a big fan of that, apparently. Like, this is how she's living her life these days. And I'm not sure how that all plays in, but with infinite possibilities, the idea being that we're all made up of particles, and that since there's infinite possibilities, there's other places for which we are also made up elsewhere in different circumstances, another one of us in kind of ways. And therefore, all possibilities coexist at the same time, and we manifest how to go from one to another, or where we would be at any given moment, or something like this. Again, those of you who are really familiar with the multiverse, excuse me for just jacking that one out of shape entirely. And I wonder how that plays into what you're saying. I guess the threat when you speak to what you're saying is, yeah, but what happened to my choice? What happened to my freedom? What happened to my free will? Is that part of this whole game?
Yeah. Well, brings up for me is all of this discussion these days about quantum mechanics and its relationship with consciousness, and how the strange, mysterious aspect of the quantum is that everything exists as pure possibility within the field of infinite potential, and that it requires our attention to turn from pure possibility into something that we could say is tangible. That before that, it just exists. There's all possibilities exist, and then the moment our attention focuses on something, it comes into what we perceive as real. And so that would then indicate really that in terms of that relationship with the metaverse, or the multiverse, I should say, metaverse being something completely different, multiverse, that infinite potentials exist in simultaneous dimensions of possibility, but that there's an observer effect, and that observer is localized to what it is, how it's getting a mirror of its own consciousness in this present day reality, which is largely informed by the biological memory of the body that it exists within. So this body that it exists within has gone through what it perceives as a material plane that appears to have a linear trajectory to it. Doesn't necessarily really have a linear trajectory to it. It's just that that's how the brain calculates its experience within time and space. And so then it keeps informing itself over and over and over again based on what it believes to be a linear trajectory within time and space and memory, and then projecting future hypothetical outcomes where any kind of outcome exists theoretically in the future, but it predicts based on its memory of past experience what the future hypothetical outcome is going to be. And so then the question is, can we become aware of that and then develop a certain amount? And once we sort of see the way that in which it is operating, start to choose differently, because we see that there's actually possibilities where it didn't seem that there were possibilities before. And I think that that self-awareness is how one develops greater agency and greater free will to actually be able to manifest intentionally versus unconsciously. And so that's what I'm going to feed back to you.
Well, that's just awesome. That's just awesome. And let's come back after a commercial. I love what you're saying. Let's see what we're with. And how about those Giants anyways? We'll see you on the other side of the commercial. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer, and I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had. even though they did meet the criteria, etc. I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their condition's cleared. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but as two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeply becoming. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect. And from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Fred. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wow. So we've dug pretty deep here, as typical.
By the way, giants don't actually exist except for in your perception. They only exist when you place your attention on them.
That's right. And
they're not even that giant. No. They're only giant relative to your perception of what is small and big.
Exactly. With that, let's open up the phone lines a little bit and see if someone wants to talk to us. So the way to get to us, if you want to share this, your view or where you're coming from in this issues, these issues of existence, of core existence, and what we're really doing here anyways, the number is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. You can come right on the show. I mean, assuming you got something to say that's worthwhile or even marginally worthwhile, or you got a good question, or you just want to poke in what you're thinking about what's happening here. The number again is 1-888-627-6008. And you can talk to me or Sam. So what do we do from here? I mean, if there's a, you know, there's something like maybe a relief, or at least Sam, you know, me and you know how we this same existence, this our manifest selves, it's not so long ago that we know how to be in pretty deep misery too. And that could even be earlier today. It's not like we have conquered misery. Let's say someone is like, I feel like, you know, you and I are walking on a plane together in this conversation, at least enough to be, you know, to be able to communicate with each other. What does someone do once they get to this area? Like, without having to explain it, what does someone do with this information?
I can start by relaxing a little bit. And what I mean by that is relaxing into knowing that you're exactly right where you need to be, right where you belong, doing exactly what you need to be doing right now. And I think there's so much tension that is held in the nervous system that is related to the perception that there is something different to be doing right now, or someone different to be being right now. that creates a tremendous amount of tension on the nervous system. And this also holds true to people who are sort of growth-oriented people as well, because frequently growth and a growth-oriented orientation, I've discovered this through, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, through many years of coaching and interacting with people who, you know, have a growth-based consciousness, there can still be a tension that exists in the nervous system around feeling like now is not good enough. Now is not good enough. It's always something in the future. It's always something in the future. I've got to get something, got to get somewhere, got to get more money, got to get better status, got to get here to a place that isn't where you already are.
Yeah.
And this is something that I think is a very dysfunctional aspect of the personal development world that is really a byproduct of the fact that our logical minds so easily default to the program of culture that says that we are consumers and that our value in the world is predicated upon how well we consume and how well we give to the commercial machine, which is all tied up with money, status, identity, etc. All of that stuff is tied up with a matrix that we did not create, that has a certain dysfunctional characteristics to it that say, you're not good right now. Oh yeah, no, you're wonderful just as you are. Now pay us some more money. Mm. Yo, you're just great. You're awesome. Now buy these new shoes, get this new computer, et cetera. Then you'll really feel, oh, then you'll be even better. No. We have to back off of all of that. There's nothing wrong with getting those things. It's nothing wrong with getting that status or getting that job or getting that money or whatever. There is absolutely nothing inherently wrong. In fact, we want to keep evolving. We want to keep moving and discovering new things. And we have to, you know, buy stuff and protect our lives and our homes and so forth. So there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But what I would describe as a virus-like program that enters into the consciousness of a lot of people that suggests that until the next thing is discovered or embodied, that now is not good enough, that who you are in this moment isn't, and that needs to be addressed. Because what we were talking about earlier in terms of your inherent worth and the fact that your value is infinite cannot be accessed by the conscious mind as long as you are running a program saying that it exists in the future. That once you attain to this status, or once you have this amount of money, or once you have this many Instagram followers, then things will be better. We have to actually erase that whole way of thinking in order to tap into what we were referring to earlier.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick this one out here. See what you think of this. The nature of the linear timeline that has the past behind us and the future in front of us is, of course, just a mental construct in its own right. And although we have we don't have a way of thinking of life very well in the way we are wired, or the prevailing conversation's contribution to how we configure all of life's objects and thoughts. So time exists as being real. Now, once we do that, in the idea of constructing a future at all, like constructing a future at all, it's sort of almost the flaw of creating a future is this notion it seems almost inherent in the flaw of creating a future that we would think that it's going to get better, or it is better, like somehow it's going to get there, you know, future tense thinking creates a notion that it's even possible to be better than it is right now. It's like a leak in the system that includes time as being real.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a leak in the system. It's well said. Yeah. Yeah. It's a parasitic form of consciousness. And I don't think that any one or any group is to blame for this parasitic type of consciousness. I think this is an agreed upon, an unconsciously agreed upon representation of reality that we all fall for to some degree or another, that has it that there is something other than this that must be attained to so that we can become this. It's algorithmic in its nature. And that's how an algorithm works. It says if X plus Y equals Z, then blah, 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 feed the output. And so that's how this program actually works. It works in an algorithmic way, which I think is why it's so easy for us to get caught up in the algorithms of social media and that kind of thing too, because it so clearly reflects the program that happens unconsciously in our own brains that has it that we are, that exists, that same program. Yeah, you get what I mean. I'm trying to finish that sentence properly and I just lost it all, but yeah.
Yeah. There's a the algorithm, you know, even in math, even when you start talking about algorithm, you start, you know, the whole idea of create math is the resource that allows for this line, you know. The whole science or the whole given nature of mathematics as the explanation for how things go creates the timeline. You know, the timeline is a mathematical construct in its basic right. And algorithm most certainly is a mathematical construct. And so I once had a title for a book that I was considering. I never wrote even one sentence into the book, but it was like, Euclid, you know, the creator of our modern math, that Euclid was the Antichrist in some ways, that by putting math into our brain, we decided that everything fits into math. And in fact, you know, when you spoke to quantum mechanics, it's almost like quantum mechanics might be the thread that allows us to get out of the constraints and restraints that math almost captures. Like it allows for the things that aren't mathematically explained to be explained, because we all know that explanations are super important after all.
Right. There's a lot of assumptions that get built upon the foundation that time and space are real. A lot of assumptions, including the notion that a sentence should go from one place to another, or that multiple sentences together should build a meaningful paragraph. And so many of these things, because we're so accustomed to them, they're all habitual. Everything that we do and everything that we experience is a byproduct of habit, right? It's actually no more real. Like my ability to try to articulate myself as best as I can is really just a habitual exercise of having done so over and over and over again. My comfort with showing up on this podcast and talking with you is a byproduct of my comfort of having practiced over and over and over again the habit of connecting with you and of being on podcasts. So there's this habitual construct that has it that my ability is based upon my experience. And then so I should keep on practicing within this sort of time space continuum to keep on practicing the thing. And then I get better and better and better at it. And that somehow equates to a better existence when none of that necessarily has to be real, you know, like it really doesn't. Oh, you're somehow your mic got cut off. Yeah, you muted yourself. You got to unmute.
Okay, good. I get it. Yeah, it's really, really funny what you're saying, because I think what we're about to do, if once you start realizing that language and our choice to utter things through this thing we call through language a voice box, not that it was really like given to us necessarily for that purpose, it's just how we use it. We might, you know, if we were drummers, then we would call our fingers voice sticks or something, you know, if we were communicating that way. But we're communicating by these utterances that have gained definition over centuries and absolutely require a belief of time and space at the roots of it all. Because I need to string together words and then you need to hear them. You need to submit entirely to the existence of time and space in order to communicate using words, period.
Well said. It's a submission. And then once you realize that there is that submission that is required, it's like, what am I submitting to? Like, what have I agreed to do here? What am I agreeing on? I've actually agreed to follow this linear sort of way of thinking and conversing, and we think that some sort of deeper meaning is going to emerge out of this conversation. Where did any of that even come from?
Right.
And at the same time, there's also something that's rather enjoyable about it too. But I think that it points to a deeper kind of thing that we enjoy connecting. We enjoy rapport. And rapport, I think there's something that is more sort of fundamental beneath our desires to communicate, and that is the desire to create rapport. It is the desire to, you know, we could be doing it silently. It's just that no one would want to probably listen to this podcast if we were doing it silently. Mm-hmm. And so then we have to use all of these resonant vibrations and taking these abstractions and trying to turn them into some sort of a linear thing, to turn it into sentences and paragraphs to communicate with one another, in order to create rapport, because other people can feel some rapport with us, theoretically, assuming that someone's listening to this. And there's all of that is more fundamental than the language use itself, than the construct of language. So I think we need to look at, you know, if we're going to sort of assess this whole human experience, I think we need to look at the more fundamental motivations that are underneath language, ideas, philosophy, mathematics, all of these things that are really just abstractions and theories, and look at the fundamental thing that they all come from, which is a desire for rapport, mm-hmm. which theoretically probably sort of emerged out of a desire for security, and who knows, but we can only even that is only theoretical. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could say that these are all survival mechanisms, but I don't think that something in me tells me that the notion that most of these human evolutionary behaviors are fundamentally based in the need to survive feels a little off to me. I think there are other components that aren't necessarily related to survival. I think it's actually joy, the joy of resonant rapport and communication, mm-hmm. because it feels good to mm-hmm. be hanging out and having a little dance mm-hmm. with Fred Moss right now. Mm-hmm. It feels good. There's kind of a musicality to it. There's a beat, there's a movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is, Sam, man, life is just so remarkably synchronous when you're in tune. So this whole hour and a half before this conversation was about the beauty of none other than singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. And so we took on my Creative Eight, the third and fourth Creative Eight items this week, and that those two items are singing and dancing. And we actually sang and danced in the mastermind an hour ago. So, you know, there in this idea of it feeling good, what happened was we talked for about an hour about things that were kind of disturbing in our interactions with people and breakthroughs that we had using language and communication. And then we had a break. And when we came back from break, the instruction was to be, I played some Stevie Wonder, and there was, the instruction was, you know, we played For Once in My Life, and I think Signed, Sealed, and Delivered or something. And there was a, we were dancing, like the four, you know, we were just dancing and singing. And when we came back, there was just a new sense of feeling great and of having communicated, perhaps in a form of whatever this word called rapport means. And in this world of connection, in this world of communication through creativity, you know, and when we look back at the podcast 2 weeks ago with William, when we talked about the possibility of what would a silent world look like? You know, what would happen if we couldn't speak and couldn't hear? Like all of a sudden, those things are gone and there's can't hear or speak anything. What would happen? Would we, in fact, get closer to each other? And I remember you, even as the premier musician that you are, with your life really formally, almost formally dedicated to music, saying that you could do that, that it might actually make humanity a better place to be. And, you know, that's like the annihilation of language, which is, in order to do that, we would have to really firmly disrupt this notion of time and space as being reality. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, one of the things that comes to mind as that I'm remembering based on that conversation about this hypothetical situation of being completely silenced, if we all lost our auditory ability simultaneously and we could no longer speak through language, is that yes, that the notion of time and space, I think, would be altered in some way that was fundamentally a fundamental shift for just about all of us. Mm-hmm. And because there's a certain sort of way in which I think we track the perception of time through verbal communication.
Exactly.
And even when we aren't actually speaking verbally, there's still thoughts that are based in verbal communication that we are tracking. And that perception of tracking those thoughts creates our perception of time passing based on how fast we're thinking. And we've all had those experiences where we go from being in a urban environment and then we drive out to the country. And then within a few hours, it's like the whole nervous system starts to settle more and we start to feel trees and nature, and the nervous system does something. There's a slowing of consciousness that occurs, mm-hmm. the slowing of the perception of time passing. Mm-hmm. And I think that slowing of the perception of time passing, plus in addition to it, the inability to communicate through ideas temporarily, because we would have to work on communicating. We would have to work on the fundamentals, just survival, and you know how to communicate what our basic needs are. And my sense is that would ultimately lead to a greater degree of empathy that we could potentially experience with each other, because we'd all be much more on the same page and not able to fight each other with different ideas of who is wrong and who is right based on a concept of who we believe ourselves to be and what we think we need, and based more on really the truth of what we actually all have in common. Yeah. And not that I'm hoping that happens, obviously, but it does point to a possibility when we're talking about things in terms of possibilities. It does point to the possibility of us all kind of forgetting about all of the ideas, or at least
exactly.
If we have opinions, recognizing that those opinions are constructs of our egoic identity, that they aren't actually part of our fundamental necessary life. And people fight over ideas. They don't mm-hmm. fight over life.
Exactly. Right? People fight over ideas and not life. That is exactly right. Exactly right. And not only just ideas, spoken ideas.
That's right. That's right.
The intimate relationship between language, space, and time is extraordinary. And I think we've really uncovered that here today.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, I love this conversation. It makes me think about, I was listening to Lex Fridman interviewing Ben Shapiro earlier today. Very different types of people. Lex is kind of like a very sort of, he's very slow and intentional with his words. And Ben Shapiro, regardless of your political affiliation, we're not going to get into whether or not Ben Shapiro is a good guy, bad guy, whatever. But his voice to me comes off like an M16. It's like very staccato, and it doesn't really feel good to me. So I found myself wanting to listen to his ideas more and wanting to empathize with his opinions to try to understand him. But I also felt that my nervous system had a hard time taking it in because it was coming off in this sort of staccato machine gun-like manner. And so I almost wish that he could speak in this more resonant way because I feel like maybe I might be able to interpret what he's saying in a way that resonates more. At least there's a possibility for it to resonate because it doesn't feel like a threat based on where it's coming from in terms of the resonance. So,
well, you know, we only have a few more minutes, but we only have a few minutes, but I'm going to leave you with this and let you close this off. Cause I think you got something here, which is the magic of music. I'm going to let you ride this off because really in the end, all we're doing when we're talking is you're enjoying or you're moved by, or you're properly interested in the music that I'm doing, including the spaces between the notes. And I am hearing you through the music that you're making, and I'm enjoying enough to resonate with and then be able to respond a jam session. And in fact, like through our conversation, I'd love for you to speak how music might be something I stretch a little bit here that transcends this, that transcends these concerns. Yeah, maybe if you can, let's see if we can put a blanket on this conversation, at least for this week, and looking at how music might be, this is what I did the last hour, so I assume we can do it again, how music might be a transcendental way to actually communicate without all the, you know, harshness and inherent threats of conversation.
And it absolutely is. And we all can, we are all familiar with the way in which music communicates something that is beyond logic, and yet we can feel something that we hold in common. It's one of the reasons why we enjoy going to musical events together, hearing concerts together. There's something that we can feel that isn't a logical, linear discussion. It's something that it has something that is, it activates the right brain. It activates this feeling of a soul connection. And it does so through not only the vibration of the instruments and the voice themselves, but also through space, because there's, in good music, there's space. It breathes. It has openness. It has intentionality, but it does so in a way where there's a communication that is independent of our own thoughts and ideas. And I think it's so refreshing for us to be able to experience something that resonates and that transmits a message that doesn't have a literal definition to it, and that breathes with space and harmony and evokes feeling without the linear sort of idea-based communication inherent in it. Oh, you're muted again. How did that happen?
It seems in some ways it's almost the bridge between the problems inherent in linear time and space language and straight silence, the inability to hear it all together. Like maybe there's a space in music that can be the universal language or conversation base, you know?
Indeed.
All right, Sam, we killed it again. I'm really happy for this conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tech, as well. Sam, how can people find you? Because probably anyone who's listened to this is interested in doing that.
Yeah, go to zenwarriortraining.com or follow me anywhere that you put Sam Morris and Zen Warrior Training. I'm all over all the socials.
Awesome. Yep. He's great. And yeah, feel free to tap on him. He's got plenty to say, plenty to be. He can, find me at Dr. Fred at welcometohumanity.net. And also at the truevoicecourse.com is a cool place to find me. And I have the Find Your True Voice book that you can get as well. But really, come into our circle. If this is interesting to you, it's very possible that this podcast is about to explode. And what I mean by that is we're looking at really putting this out into a larger crowd, and you included, listener. We want to hear from you. How can this be better for you, or what are you enjoying or not enjoying? But really, if you want to tap on us, it would be really wonderful. We'd love to hear from you about who you are and how True Voice with Dr. Fred, or how these conversations move you each and every Tuesday, or on the ones that you've heard. Anyways, it's been a pleasure, honestly. For now, I'm just setting off, like, you know, welcome to humanity, welcome to your true voice, and, you know, welcome to life in general, and life with love and language. Bye for now. Love you, Sam. Thank you so much.
Love you, Fred.
Bye for now. Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding true voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their true voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?